Before COVID-19 grabbed the headlines, Eskom was often the front and center of news output. And of course, in the meantime, its problems have not gone away. It continues to have a bulging debt load of plus 450 billion rand. Before COVID-19, discussions were had at the National Economic Development and Labour Council level about how to deal with Eskom's debt, with COSATU coming up with the idea of using government employee pension funds to help bring down the utility's debt. Yesterday, the Minister of Public Enterprises and Eskom's management team delivered an update report on Eskom's situation to a joint portfolio committee, with the Minister of Public Enterprises, Pravin Gordhan, admitting that government's occupation with COVID-19 and dealing with its impacts had put the Eskom issue on the back burner. Well, to unpack some of the issues that came out of that briefing, I'm joined by MoneyWeb journalist Deboho Tswane. Thanks very much, Deboho, for joining us. So what was the thrust of what Minister Pravin Gordhan had to say to the Parliamentary Joint Committee?
Good evening, Nompu, and thank you for having me. Sure. So Minister Gordhan's inputs on Wednesday night's briefing were quite broad, largely centered around the governance and the debt at Eskom, and not really touching on the technicalities of the institution, because this was Eskom's opportunity to provide members of parliament with an update around their operations. But from the minister's side, you know, he started off by saying that the utility was on the right track, stressing, however, that, you know, the recovery from the kind of past that Eskom has had with corruption and maladministration would obviously take time, and one should always keep that in mind when you're looking at the bigger picture around Eskom, as opposed to trying to see a more rapid and sort of fast-track recovery in the institution. And he expressed his support for the current CEO, Andre de Reiter, saying that, you know, with the right management around him and having people with the right skills, there could be faster progress with the utility's turnaround. Another thing he also touched on was the utilities board, saying that it had been quite depleted and government had not necessarily been able to appoint new people because they've been quite preoccupied with the COVID-19 response, but saying, you know, there was an intention to refresh it with new blood, as well as people with the requisite experience, learning from the past appointments, where there have been questions around whether or not the people on the board had the necessary skills to run an institution like Eskom.
Mm. One of the things the minister did indicate is that when the COVID dust had settled, government would be more seized with resolving its issues, that is Eskom's issues. But surely this is an issue of, you know, that needs urgent attention, given that it's been deemed for a long time as a systemic risk to the economy, and probably even more so now.
Certainly. And, you know, a large part of this 450 billion rand debt which goes around Eskom's neck is guaranteed by the state. And, you know, even with the current 230 billion rand bailout that will be spread out over the next 10 years, the utility is not making enough revenue to cover its obligations, even despite that government support. And under lockdown now, when many of its larger clients were closed down, it makes losses of between 2 billion and 2.5 billion rand, adding to the strain on its revenues. And what the COVID-19 pandemic has done, also, is that it's put public finances under even more pressure.
Yes.
So we have a situation where government is being forced to approach international lending institutions in order to fund the health and social and economic response to the pandemic. And at the same time, it has a proposal on the table will have to consider extending more money towards SAA's restructuring. So it's unlikely that should Eskom run into any financial distress, that the money would have to come from the state in order to assist it. Eskom CEO Andre de Reiter was quite sort of aware of the current environment that Eskom was operating under. He touched on some of these issues and assured members of parliament that, you know, the utility, at least for the current financial year, wouldn't need any further bailouts from the state.
Mm.
But the systemic risk exists. It's even more pronounced now than it was with the pre-COVID-19.
Yeah. We know discussions have been had at the NEDLAC level, that is, you know, discussions between government, business and labour, with COSATU having suggested tapping onto government employee pension funds to help bring Eskom's debt down. Is that something that's being seriously considered at this stage?
Yes, members of parliament asked about this Kusatu proposal, and the minister said that, you know, over the next week or so, MEDLEC partners would resume talks over the framework, and which he said was close to finalization. Prior to going under lockdown and being more preoccupied with COVID-19 and the impact of the virus on our economy, the president had said that, you know, he was favorably disposed to the proposal. Business also showed its support for mobilizing private and public pensions to assist ESCOM, but noting that this should be done in a way that doesn't compromise the integrity of our financial services sector and doesn't compromise the mandate of these institutions and their fiduciary duties. Labor was a bit more split on this. I believe one of the unions threatened legal action. But then this is not necessarily, the proposal hasn't taken a back seat and hasn't been forgotten. And it's definitely being considered as one of the many proposals that could, or options that could be used to tackle this 450 billion rand debt.
Yes. Another issue that came up, MoneyWeb did publish an article about the Public Investment Corporation entertaining the idea of converting Eskom debt into equity. How much exposure does it have to Eskom in terms of debt, and would it really make a dent to the 450 billion rand?
It would make a dent, and a sizable dent. PIC Chair Rokoza said in an interview with ENCA that the asset manager holds about 90 billion rand in bonds in ESCOM, and he said that converting the bonds into equity is one of a number of options that has been put together in a discussion document looking at the possible solutions towards the debt. But later after that that interview, when media started reporting on it, you know, the PIC did clarify that nothing has been confirmed as yet, and that should any of the options be chosen or one of them be chosen, this would obviously be in line with its mandate and ensuring that, you know what, it gets returns for its clients, and that this is not against, doesn't go against any of their fiduciary duties.
Mm. Presumably, by converting a bond or debt to equity, the belief is that there's going to be a return on the equity.
Definitely. There definitely has to be a return on their equity. Even the PIC itself had stressed that, you know what, a reasonable return on their equity was one of the main conditions of something like this, a solution such as this.
In the meantime, at an operational level, how is Eskom doing financially given the lockdown period? You know, given that the lockdown period has meant that they have less revenue, and it's been interesting as well to hear the CEO indicate that he has no further intention of drawing down on the fiscus this year.
Yes, so as I mentioned earlier on, they've made losses during the lockdown of between 2 billion rand and 2.5 billion rand. But Mr. Vereta also, you know, spoke about how there's been a number of cost-saving strategies that Eskom has been implementing internally. And during the lockdown period, they were, not necessarily during the lockdown period, but in the previous financial year, they set themselves a target of, I think, 6.3 billion rand in savings, or 6.2 billion rand in savings, and delivered a 15.3 billion rand in savings, having exceeded that target. And those kind of strategies are still in place at the moment. And some of the things that they've also been doing operationally during the lockdown is focusing on short-term maintenance while the demand was low. And they were able to sort of fulfill some of the short-term maintenance, move, and then reducing the amount of load shedding
Yes.
that we would experience in the winter to 3 days as opposed to, I think it was 30 days as they had originally projected before we experienced the lockdown. And another thing is that they've also been able to have savings on the use of diesel because of the fact that they didn't need to meet the kind of energy demand that they would meet under normal circumstances. They didn't have to really use as much diesel to keep the lights on. So there are a number of savings that sort of took place under lockdown, but also at the same time, they were losses.
Yeah.
So this is the current state that Eskom is at the moment.
And then lastly, what's happening with Eskom's planned separation into generation, transmission and distribution? That was supposed to happen by the end of March 2020, but clearly that hasn't happened. Is that still ongoing?
It's still ongoing. Director, sort of gave a new outline. So the timeline for the utilities unbundling has been extended. Eskom developed its own timeline towards the full legal separation of the three businesses rather than following what Dorota described as the aggressive timeline set out in the roadmap released by Minister Godan last year.
Mm.
And currently, some of the functional separations of the three divisions have been met, with each of these divisions having their own boards, staff complements, and having some financial reporting systems in place. But the full functional separation, which was earmarked for the end of this year for, let's say, transmission, and mid-2021 for distribution and generation, has been pushed forward to 2022. And the date for the final legal unbundling has been marked as to be confirmed in the presentation that they made to the members of parliament. And in explaining this, Dorota said that this was because they were not necessarily moving slowly but rather cautiously with these timelines, because they wanted to ensure that the business itself is quite big.
Yes.
And it's quite complex, and restructuring a large business such as Eskom would come with certain risks if not approached cautiously. And with the current timelines and with the current structure in place, Eskom would be able to prototype and test some of these separate divisions internally and de-risk the final legal separation. I mean, currently they say, within Eskom, they already have purchasing agreements,
yes,
power purchasing agreements with the 27 power stations that Eskom has and the transmission department, and they are sort of simulating what it would look like when independent power producers will be able to sort of sell electricity into the transmission division alone when the final legal separation is done, or rather functional separation is done.
Sounds very sensible. I mean, March 2020 sounded far too quick anyway. Thanks very much, Deboho, for your time. That was my colleague, Deboho Tswane. She's a MoneyWeb journalist.